at your neighbor and say, I am glad.
I am glad.
You didn't believe it at all. Say it like you mean it. Say, I am glad.
I am glad.
That you are here.
You are here.
Now look at somebody else and say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's right. That is the two things we want you to know every time we gather here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church. We are glad you are here. Friends, there are a lot of places you could be this morning, and you chose to get here. And if you weren't here, we'd miss you. If just one of you wasn't here, this place wouldn't be the same today. So thank you for being here. And if you don't hear anything else that we have to say today, just remember God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here. And on behalf of myself, all of our staff and lay leaders, we welcome all of you to worship. Please enjoy what God has prepared for all of us here today. Brothers and sisters, let us be united together in worship.
Unfailing love.
We will go to
walk in the light of our God.
Tell everyone around you of God's faithfulness.
We will share the stories of the one who experienced our life in all its fullness.
Shout out loud of God's presence with us today and in all the days to come. And all are welcome here.
Thanks be to God.
Now turn to the two folks next to you and make sure you learn a name this morning.
Here with us. Don't forget, here at Royal Oak First, we exist to make Christ's love real. We believe that we experience real love when we gather here together in this community. We believe that we experience real love as we develop real friendships, and then we know that we make that real love known to the world when we make a real difference in our service and our giving. So brothers and sisters, welcome to this place where Christ's love is made real. In a minute, our ushers will be coming down with what we call our ritual of friendship pad. That's your opportunity to record your attendance with us and let us know that you're worshiping here with us. If this is your first Sunday with us or the first Sunday in a while, we welcome you or we welcome you back. We're especially glad that you found your way here today. Let us know that you're with us here in worship, and we'll follow up with you in the week to come. I want to invite all of you after worship today to make your way down to the fellowship hall. We've got coffee and refreshments, opportunity to keep this fellowship going. I need your help down in the fellowship hall this week. We are in the midst of creating a 350-tile mosaic that will go up on our youth and children's wing on the fourth floor. And you are the ones who are making those tiles. Last Sunday, we made 77 tiles as a congregation. And you came down and you painted those. There's a little prompt this week. This week is, what makes you happy, or what makes your children happy? I went down there and I saw Elliot painted a great big cheeseburger on his tile. So cheeseburgers will be in our mosaic. But come on down and help us lend a hand with that art project. It's going to be really awesome when we're able to install that. As always, I got a few announcements for the good of the community. Our very first one has to do with, I know, something that's been pulling on our hearts. We've all been watching the television over these last couple of weeks, and our hearts and prayers have really gone out to our friends in Texas and in Florida. As Hurricane Irma and Harvey have hit those communities hard, and many people have lost everything and are simply starting over. We are a part of a great connectional church that wants to help stay connected, and so we are helping to fill a truck with hurricane supplies, and all of those things are in those bulletins. One of the things that you learn in times like this is just how close. Come on in, friends. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Your family's over here. Everybody's good. One of the things that we are looking, what we realize is just how close we are to these situations, when you realize that one of our young adults, Samantha Masumoto, lives right there in the eye of where that hurricane came through. She happened to be home today, and she's going to come on up here and tell us a little bit about what's really happening on the ground in her community. Sam, where are you? Come on over here, Samantha. Sam, Samantha, Sammy, what do you prefer? all the above. Well, I'll call you at least one of each then during our time. Sam is a child of the St. John's United Methodist Church that merged with us 5-6 years ago, and is living her faith in a real live way down there in Florida. Sam, tell us about where you're living.
So I live in Fort Myers in Florida, but the community that has really touched my heart and has really affected me over the last few years is a town in the middle of Florida, kind of near the Everglades. It's a town called Immokalee. Immokalee is the seminal word for my home. And to me, over the last 3 years, that is exactly what Immokalee has become. The community that I teach in is a lot of Hispanic and Haitian students. Many of them come from homes where the parents work in the fields and make just enough to provide for their families. So this hurricane really, it hit them very hard. There were quite a few families that lost their homes. It's been about a week since Irma hit, and we still have families that don't have a home. They're staying in shelters until they can get back on their feet.
Sam, you sent me a note like while Irma was right on top of your head and said, my mom told me about what the church is doing, and it really inspired me to be the hands and feet of God right in my own community. Tell us what kind of help that we can, that the help that we're doing with the church and with you in particular is gonna do.
So the students that I'm with, that I teach, they don't necessarily have the funds to start over. As I told you, I'm very fortunate. I'm from a family where if heaven for, you know, we had to start over or something had happened to our house, I would have had the means to recover. And I know that my parents would have helped me out the best that they could. And my students don't necessarily have that option. A lot of the students, their families are now out of work because the fields were damaged as well. So the items that they really need right now, those toiletries, the clothes, the pillows and blankets, the tarps to cover the holes in their roofs, that will give them that option to kind of start over and to kind of pick up. They don't have to worry about getting those essential supplies. They can worry about rebuilding their homes.
You know that your mom over there is pretty passionate about what you're doing. She walked in here this week with just tears streaming down her eyes, says, what are we gonna do to help my kid help other kids? And so here's what we're gonna do. With all those hurricane supplies that are coming in here, we're gonna work with Janice, who's gonna be working with Samantha, and we're gonna pick out those things that can go directly to her school. And we're gonna get some of those supplies directly to her so that she can be the hands and feet, our hands and feet, right there in that local community. We are committed. We're your church, no matter where you live in this world. We are committed to helping you help others. So thank you, Sam,
for being
on the front lines. As long as I got you right here, I'm going to lay, Myra, let's come up. Let's lay some hands on this girl. You can tell that this thing has got her pretty emotional. Let's pray for her right now. Gracious God, we surround Samantha right now. The weight of the world falls on her shoulders. It's in Sunday school. It's St. John's that she learned that whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And so she's out there doing that, God, because she learned it right here. So she doesn't do it alone. We're going to do it with her. Strengthen her and give her peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, would you give Sam a nice round of applause? Well, I didn't expect that this early in the worship service. If we're crying now, wait till we get to the baptism, right? Don't forget, in the midst of that, we're also helping with disasters right here in our hometown. Socks and underwear going out to our homeless right here in our community. I know it's a lot. Give what you can and never feel guilty about what you can't. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that next Sunday after the service, we're going to have a connection fair. You're going to hear more about it during the sermon today. But most importantly, you're going to be handed a brochure at the end that has a list of different groups that you can make a connection with here in the life of the church so that you can have a group of friends in order to live our faith out more fully with. And finally, one last thing. We have our annual business meeting coming up here in the life of the church. Our district superintendent will be visiting us on Sunday, October 1st. He'll be here, our preacher, at both our 9 and 11 o'clock service. We'll go downstairs afterwards for a brief time of refreshments, and then if you're able to stay from 1 till about 2:15, he'll just conduct our annual business meeting, which allows you to hear from the larger church and for him to hear from us. Please try to be here for that. Your presence makes a difference. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community. With that, we're going to invite our kids to come on down.
Come on down. I see lots of kids. Come on down. Come on down. Hey, Jay. Come on down. Have a seat. Oh, this is a good group this morning. Oh, sorry. Hey, Sam. And Hannah. Come on in. Carson, you got a hymnal with you. You might sing for us. Hey guys, we're talking about friends today. I want you to think of somebody who is your good friend. Who's a good friend? Who's got a good friend that you want to share with? Who's your friend, Kaya? Rosabelle is your friend. Yes, she's your friend right here. Who's your friend? Who's got a friend? Jaden, who's a good friend of yours? Parker? Parker's your friend. Sure. Who's your friend? I'm sorry? Mia is your friend. Who's your friend, Sam? Hannah's your friend? Yeah. Now, you have friends because why? Are they friends that you have things in common with?
Uh-huh. Friends are for playing.
Friends are for playing. Maybe you like to play the same kind of things? Mm-hmm. Friends are for company. Friends are for company. Mm-hmm. Friends are to have fun with, no question about that. Do you ever feel like that maybe if you skin your knee or you fall, you could run to your friend and that friend might help you? Do you have a friend that you could go to? Do you, Jane, do you have that kind of friend? You do? I'm so glad. Because we need that. We need to be that kind of friend and we need to have that kind of friend. Would you guys stand up and hold hands? Can we hold hands for just a minute? If you brought a Bible, yeah, just put it right down there. If you brought a book, just hold hands. Here, you can hold my hand. Here, we'll make a big circle here.
Okay.
Carson, are you holding a hand? You got a hand? Okay. All right, let's extend our hands. Hey, guys, look around because there are a lot of people that you have things in common with, but everybody in this circle today, what you have in common with them is you go to church with them. You come here on Sundays with these, and these are your church friends, but they're not just your church friends. These are the friends that will be with you forever. I still have friends that I made when I was your age back in a church in Nashville, and they're still my friends today. So let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for our friends. Help us to be a friend. Amen.
Amen.
All right, off to Sunday school. No, you got to stay. Off to kindergarten.
She can stay and watch if she wants, then go up to Sunday school. High five. Boom. Friends, we're coming into a very special moment here in the life of our service. We've been doing this a lot lately, but let's never take it for granted. We've been dedicating a lot of kids through the sacrament of baptism to the care of the church and the recognition that God is present in their life. And this morning we get to do it again. We get to do it again. Today we get to do it for two sisters. We get to do it for Kaya and for Annabelle. These two have captured our heart in the last 6 months. Annabelle's usually the first one running right down the center, she and her sister, for children's moment. They're more excited for children's moment than I am, right? Kaya doesn't go anywhere without that Bible that you gave her. The cover fell off of it a couple of weeks back, and she was worried that maybe she had wrecked it, and we said, we'd get you a new one. She said, I don't want a new one because this one's mine. This is the one that you gave me. I don't need a new one. I want this one, and we put a piece of tape on it. Her Bible's more worn out than mine because she takes it everywhere with her. You are making a difference in the life of this family and the life of these two young girls. And so today we simply recognize what God has done and what God is already doing in their life. That they have found a place that they call home and a community of people that say, "You're forever family with me." And so I invite those two young ladies along with their mom and dad to come on up here and just spend a moment here with me together in this place. Don't they look great in their dresses? They went out shopping yesterday, right? Lady, how was the shopping?
Good.
Was it awesome? You guys look beautiful. You know, ladies, I told you this before. I just want to tell you again. Today is just recognizing that we love you, that God loves you, that your mom and dad, they love you. And today we're going to put a little water on your head, but I'm going to put a lot on yours and a lot on yours. I want you to get really wet.
Okay, you better be careful, though.
I'll be careful. But what I want you to remember and never forget is in this moment we're making a promise to you. That whatever goes on in your life, we're going to be here to try to help you, okay? Is that okay? Is that all right, Annabelle? All right, hi to the five, all right? All right. Rebecca and Dan, thank you. Thank you for bringing these two young lights into the world, and thank you so much for sharing them with us. These two have really been a blessing to us this year. So I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. The answer to them all is yes. If they're not, take it up with me later, okay? I ask you, have you received these two young women as gifts from God? Do you treasure the light that they bring to the world? And will you do all that you can to help nurture the uniqueness of who Kaya and Annabelle are? If so, say we will. And I ask you, to the best of your ability, will you live your life in such a way so that they will know the way of forgiveness, the way of grace, the way of peace, and the way of community? If so, say we will.
We will.
And I ask you, will you do all that you can to not try to do this journey of parenting all by yourself? Will you surround yourself with your family and with your friends and make sure that these young girls know the blessing of what it means to be connected to a community of care? If so, say we will.
We will.
All right, young ladies, I ask you, do you know that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it? All right, that's all you need to know today, okay? All right. Friends, as we prepare for this moment of baptism, one of the things we do here at Royal Oak First is we realize that this isn't just a single moment, it's a community event. And so I invite any of you who would like to come and stand with this family to come now and join hands with them and lay hands upon them as we prepare for this moment of baptism. Gracious God, we ask that your blessing be upon this water, that it symbolizes to us what it means to be welcomed into your family and into your community, that it's through the waters of grace that we are born, that you have made a promise to us from the beginning of time until the end, that we are yours and you are ours, and you will never go anywhere, that you won't take us with you. May those promises be just true today for these two young women who we love, who their parents love, and we know that you love so dearly. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Rebecca, did you have any words you wanted to say to your girls? Yes, she does. Hear these words from your mom.
Kaya and Annabelle, you girls have been one of the best things that could have happened in our lives. We love watching you grow and love each other. There are days I don't know where we would be without you guys. You two brighten so many people's lives with just being who you are on a daily basis. That's one thing that inspires me to make sure I'm doing everything I can to love you guys even more. From picking on each other because you two are sisters and having family nights watching movies or playing games. I love it all. You two are amazing young ladies, and we can't wait to see what God has in store for you guys and see what your future has to hold for you two.
Pretty good, huh? Yeah. All right, Kaya, you ready? Come on up here. We'll go with Kaya first. Dan and Rebecca, come on up here and stand with your daughter. Annabelle, you come and stand with your sister, too. What is the name of your first daughter that you bring forward for baptism?
Kaya Elise Ty Cook.
Kaya Elise, today it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. I'm going to get you really good this time. And the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, girl. How's that? Was that pretty good? Yeah, it's cold. Well, we'll make sure to warm you up. We love you, and you're a part of this community forever, okay? Okay, I'll just do a little more, okay? Come on over, Annabelle. What's the name of this young lady that we bring forward for baptism?
This is Annabelle Teresa Olivia Cook.
Annabelle Teresa Olivia.
No, Olivia.
Olivia. Annabelle Teresa Olivia. It's my privilege, with a little less water, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Never forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. Here, would you lay hands on these friends and let's pray for them. Come on back into your circle. We got grandmas, we got sisters, we got aunts up here, we got uncles, we got godparents, Sunday school teachers. Gracious and loving God, we just pray for Annabelle and Kaya today, that they would know that they are surrounded by your grace and by your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you go, Miss Mary has a present for you from the United Methodist Women. Mary?
On behalf of all the women in this church, we know how children and all of us love blankets. So the one on top is for you, honey. And there, the one on top is you. God bless you. And keep you and help you grow.
One for you.
You enjoy.
And one for you. Put those in your house this week and watch those flowers grow. And remember how your girls are growing in grace. Would you welcome Kai and Annabelle to the life of the church? Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We stand side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide.
Yay. Those are happy tears, I hope. Anyway, guys, we're glad you're here. You can go back and sit with your mom and dad, or you can head up to Sunday school, whatever is best for you.
We got one other special moment we have to celebrate here today before we get on with the rest of service. A year ago, I did my very first wedding here at Royal Oak First. I got to marry two people that looked at each other and said, you know, life isn't getting any shorter for us. And we love each other, and we're not gonna wait any more time. So a year ago, I got to marry Joyce and Ken Burton together right here in this place. They've had a year of marriage that's been up and down. They made a promise that they'd love each other in sickness and in health, and this year's had more sickness than health. But they're here today to recommit that blessing to each other. So Ken and Joyce, would you come on up here, these two lovebirds right here. One year of married bliss.
Come on over here, Ken, you good-looking dog, you. Ken, tell us how you met this lady and why you decided you wanted to hold on to her.
About 65 years ago, me and her went to school together. I always sit in the history class and look back at her and say, wish I could go with her. But I never did get to go with her.
Didn't ask.
She didn't ask, either. You chickened out.
No. But she had a bunch of friends that would like to go with me, but she hated that too. She had a fight with one because they had to get me. But finally she got me.
No, you got me.
Anyway, you was crying anyway. So anyway, I look back at her and say I'd like to go with her. And I never did get to. So she got married. She had four kids. I went to Grand Rapids, and I had three kids. And my kids are with her mother, which divorced me back in 79. And I got with Joyce then.
Joyce, you better have a rebuttal here.
Well, it's not quite like that. After my husband had passed away, we'd been married 47 and a half years, and he passed away, and we were having our 50th class reunion. And I hadn't been to any class reunions for a long time, and I decided to go. And I didn't go down looking for a man, though, I'll tell you. But everybody said Kenneth was supposed to be sitting by me, but he broke his leg, and I thought, why would he be sitting by me to eat? And I hardly knew him. And he broke his leg, and they said, you should call him. He only lives about three hours from you. And I didn't call him for a while, and a couple of my friends, they call me every day, call Kenneth. I said, I will, one time. And so it took me 3 months before I did it. And took me 3 months us talking on the phone before I invited him down, because we hadn't seen each other in over 40 years. And so I asked him if he wanted to come down for my granddaughter's birthday. I was having a party for, and he said, yeah. And so he came down, and we all kind of got along with him and kind of liked him. And I made him go back and forth for a year before we made any commitments. And I've known him 11 years, and 1 year we've been married. And that's it.
Turn and face each other, would you? Would you turn and face each other? The only thing I asked them when they came in to ask me if I'd marry him, I said, there's no baby coming, is there? And I said, no, so we didn't have to be in too big a hurry. Would you guys look at each other? Ken, would you repeat after me? Looking at your bride. I, Ken.
Take you, Joyce.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
And I recommit.
And
I recommit.
Commit.
My life to you.
My life to you.
And Joyce, repeat after me. I, Joyce. Take you, Ken. To be my husband. And I recommit my life to you. Hey, would you do me a big favor and seal this with a kiss? Hey!
We know too well our foolishness, our brokenness, and our human ways of doing things. But God knows our hearts, our hopes, our desire to be made new. As we offer our prayers of confession, let us open ourselves to God, who forgives us and gives us new life. Creator of all things, please join me. Creator of all things, you have crafted us for goodness, but sometimes we only share bitterness. Your word would enable us to speak of joy to others, but sometimes we only offer judgment. Your spirit fills us with hope to be shared with everyone we meet, but sometimes hold tightly to our blessings. God, you've said that everything created is good. Remake us, reconcile us, and refresh us so we can bring healing and hope to those who need it most. Walk beside us and guide us as we tell others of your mercy and of our love for them in every moment. Lord, now hear our silent prayers.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to lift our prayers to you today. We remember especially anyone in our life who is in need of healing this day. We pray for those on our prayer list here at the church. We especially remember Bob Demjanovich, who is watching this service from his hospital bed in Troy. We remember Nan Wilberding, who's sitting at the bedside of her sister in Grand Rapids, preparing for her transition to the life that is to come. So God, for all of those who need your healing hand and touch this day, we ask that you would bring it. And God, simply we ask that you would do the miracle that you do every time we gather in this place. Take us, people who are of different ages, races, and backgrounds, and make us one as we pray together the simple but profound prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm coming over to get a green envelope. It's time for our offering, and I just want to remind you that this is a Mission Sunday, and there's a green envelope in your bulletin. It's a time when we, if there's a little extra that you have and you can put in for missions, there's a lot going on in the world today. One of the things that we are doing as part of the missions coup coming up is a thing called Hands for Detroit. I think we've got some pictures of that to come up. If you've never done a Hands for Detroit, we gather with just churches from all over. And you don't have to have any special skills. I can't tell you how few my skills are. And I go, and there's always something to do. It's a lot of fun. It is October 7th. We meet at the church here at 8:30 in the morning and go out and help those in need, all in the area, all in our community. At this time, we'll bring our offering forward. And again, I know we're asking a lot of everybody. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of need. And sometimes we feel like, wow, what I give isn't enough to make a difference. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with whatever you have and whatever you give. Give like it matters, because it does.
No matter what people say, or think about me, I am a child, I am a child of God. No matter what people say or think about you, you are matter what the world says, says or thinks about me. I am a child, I am a child of God.
God, we are your children, and we come to you just as we are with just what we have, and we ask you to bless it, to bless us, and to send us out into your world with your love and your care. Help us to be your light in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark, the second chapter. After a few days, Jesus went back to Capernaum, and people heard that he was at home. So many gathered there. So many gathered there that there was no longer space, not even near the door. Jesus was speaking the word to them. Some people arrived, and four of them were bringing to him a man who was paralyzed. They couldn't carry him through the crowd, so they tore off part of the roof above where Jesus was. When they had made an opening, they lowered the man on which the paralyzed man was lying, the mat. When Jesus saw them and saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Jesus raised him up, and right away he picked up his mat and walked out in front of everybody. They were all amazed and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say, one love, one life, it's one need in the night. One love, get to share it. Leave your darling if you don't care.
Did I disappoint you or leave a bad taste in your mouth? You act like you never had love and you want me to go without. Well, it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, carry each other.
We get to carry each other. If there was one sentence that summed up today's scripture, it's that. It's the song, the mantra of that song that we just heard. We get to carry each other. Did you catch that in the scripture today? There was a guy that was stuck. Scripture said he couldn't move.
He couldn't get from where he needed to be to where he needed to go. He was paralyzed. He simply couldn't move. Ever felt stuck like that? Like you just couldn't get to where you needed to be? That life had just suddenly stopped, and no matter how hard you wanted to, you simply couldn't get from where you were to where you knew you needed to be. Maybe you were stuck, paralyzed by fear, or by anger, or by sadness, or grief. You simply couldn't get where you needed to go. And even if Jesus were right there in the midst of your hometown and you wanted so desperately to get to him, you just couldn't get there because you were stuck. Well, if you've ever felt like that, then you know what the guy in our scripture today in Mark's gospel felt like, because he was stuck. But he had some friends, four buddies, who carried him. Who carried him to Jesus. Who got him exactly to where he needed to be. Aren't you glad you got friends like that? Don't you want to have friends like that? Don't you want to be a friend like that? You see, we get to carry each other. I met a group of guys like that once. We met for coffee every morning at 6, not every morning, every Tuesday morning at 6:30. I can only do one morning a week at 6:30. We met at 6:30 just up the road at the Methodist Church in Birmingham. We got there at 6:30. We spent most of the time around the coffee pot, telling jokes, checking in, talking about the football game from the night before, what movies people had seen, what was going on in the lives of our kids and families. For about 20 minutes, we'd struggle to try to answer questions about the Bible, but most guys would kind of scratch their head and go, "Preacher, it is way early to be asking questions like that." And then we'd try to pray together. Truth be told, most of the guys were there because their wives told them they needed to be. Some of them were there because they couldn't say no to me. But week after week, this group of guys kept showing up, and nothing spectacular happened until one of them got stuck. It was Keith. Keith got stuck. Keith got stuck between a promise he'd made to his family and a promise he had made to his country. You see, Keith was about to go to his second deployment in Afghanistan, and the thing that was different between this deployment and the last one is now there were two kids in the mix. And he was stuck. He felt guilty and scared. He didn't want to abandon or leave his family behind. How could he get to do all of these things? And that's when this group of men who simply had been drinking coffee together and hanging out together for months decided they'd carry Keith and his family. And so here's what they did. They had a meeting with Keith and his wife, and they put together a schedule so that during the winter, if the snow needed to get shoveled or plowed, one of those guys would show up there to do it. In the spring, when the yard needed to get cleaned, and when the eaves needed to get cleaned out, and all of those things to get the house ready for spring, these guys showed up for a work day and did that together. They handed her a list. If the car breaks down, you call Paul. If the water heater breaks down, you call Ron. You'd never call Bill for anything. And then the most beautiful thing of all, they made an agreement that for every single soccer game that Keith was going to miss, one of them would be sitting in the stands. So when that kid looked out there to say, "Where's my dad?" they'd see one of these men who was going to stand in the gap for that man while he was overseas. Every single soccer game, every single dance recital, every single elementary school concert. Have you been to an elementary school concert lately? It is hard enough to do that when it's your own kid. They carried him. They carried him across the finish line. They got him to Jesus. And none of that would have been possible if for months after months, week after week, they hadn't been getting up out of bed, struggling to get to church, drinking coffee, sharing stories, in order for the moment when it mattered, it would matter the most. You see, we get to carry each other. That's what friends do. Friends will go the extra mile for someone. In fact, friends will take the roof off the place in order to get you to where you need to be. Did you catch that in the story today? They got to Jesus and the place was full. They couldn't find any parking. Amen? They couldn't find any parking to get in. And instead of circling the block a couple of times and going home, they said, "We got to get our friend to Jesus." And so right there in the middle of worship, right after the doxology and before the prayer of dedication, the ceiling started to shake. And the dust started to come down and little specks of plaster started to go. And Bob Perdome and the trustees went in the corner and started to panic. And right there, a big piece of plaster came down and it hit the floor. And the light shined in and Jesus looked up and there he saw the faces of four guys. Yep, we got a straight shot. We can lower him down. And they got their friend to Jesus. I did a little extra research this week on this scripture. Research I'd never done before. I got out my commentaries and my lectionaries and my special Greek stuff. I did some extra online study. And guess what I discovered? I discovered that in the caves of Qumran, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's a little bit of scripture that didn't make the Bible that talks about this story. And it says that these guys used to meet every Tuesday at 6:30 for bad coffee. And they talk about their fantasy camel driving league. And that they'd become friends. So that when it mattered, they could get their friend across the finish line. You see, friendships like that just don't happen. They have to be formed. Here's the deal. You hang around the church long enough and you know it. Sometimes you get carried. And sometimes you're the one doing the carrying. But none of that's possible if you're not connected. So that's why this fall we're inviting you to get connected, to find a place where you can make a friendship like that so that when you need to get carried, you're not wondering, where on earth is my church? Where on earth is my God? How on earth do I get to Jesus? You're going to get one of these on the way out today if you want. And it's got all these different groups that you can get connected to in order to grow in your faith, in order to grow in your relationship with God and with each other. And we got a group for just about everybody here. I hope it's for everybody. You like Bible study? Come on Tuesday mornings, 10 o'clock. We're going to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter and verse. Like to read good novels? Our United Methodist Women, it's open to men and women, have a book group here. They're reading a book called The Charm Bracelet right now. Come and read book, but most importantly, get to know new people. Women's Bible study and book group. This is the dangerous group. They meet late at night at 7 o'clock. Good friendships are being formed. Myra is our leader of that. We have our knowledge circle of the United Methodist Women. Romeo's, my favorite group here in the whole church. Come and hang out with Chris Christopher and Noel Peterson. Retired old men eating out. The only thing you got to do is show up on Wednesdays at 11:30 at Romeo's. And there you're going to meet some guys who carry each other. Saturday Night Supper Club. We're going to have a potluck once a month. You like an old-fashioned church potluck? How much green bean casserole can you eat in one night? The very first program of it's going to be the Nahat Family Singers. I think there's more Nahats in this church than there are anybody else. And they're going to come together and do a program for us that night. Moms, you need a night out? No? Any moms need a night out? Megan's shaking her head back there. David, can she have a night out? Yeah, right? David, you text me that night. We'll keep each other in prayer, okay? Moms, there's a group for you. Men's Morning Fellowship. Come and be a part of that kind of committee, community. Theology on Tap. Caleb's going to take this message out into the community. There's nothing like being in a place where people go, man, you're a church group and you're hanging out here? I want to be a part of that church. Men's basketball. We have a men's basketball league. Make sure you got your insurance cards filled out before you sign up for it, guys. We started a basketball league at Birmingham, and we had 4 burst Achilles heels in the first 30 days. But after that, I went really well. So, Young at Heart. This is for our retirees. It's a monthly gathering of our seniors for food, for friendship, and for field trips. It's a chance for me to spend time with you and hear what's going on in your life. Friday Night Fun Night. One night a month, board games, card games, coming together as community to have some fun. This is especially for families with special needs kids because they need to be included. So bring your kids to Family Fun Night. Making a Plan. There was a group, Jennifer Tripoli holds a group here. It's called Making a Plan, Pastor. It really stands for Moms at Pubs. What it is is an email that says, there's a group of us who are going out for dinner. Would you like to come and be included in that? If you just need a group of women to be with to have dinner, come and join. Tool Time. You like fixing things with your hands? Sign up for Tool Time. Together in Grief. John Safran has started a grief group here at the church tomorrow night. Come and be a part of it. Sometimes you can only, when you've lost somebody, sometimes it's only people that have also lost somebody who can walk that journey with you. Shawl Ministry. We have a sewing ministry. Get connected. Pick up this brochure. Find a spot where you can be a part of a group of people who at the end of the day will agree to carry you and to carry each other. I was trying to find a story to end this sermon with, and I couldn't find one until I talked to my friend Neil on the phone. Neil Harris, sitting right there in the back of the choir. Neil's part of a group here. It's called As We Gather. As We Gather meets every Thursday for worship service with our bag lunch community. And it's not just so people can sing songs and pray prayers and take communion. It's so that in the midst of singing songs and praying prayers and taking communion, people build a relationship so if one of them gets stuck, there's somebody there to carry him. Neil met George. George is getting his life back together. George has been clean and sober for over a year now. He's working his program and he's getting himself back on the straight and narrow. One of the things the judge told him he had to get was a driver's license. How do you get a driver's license if you don't have a car to take the road test? How do you get to the road test if you don't have a car to get there? You have a friend named Neil who says, George, you're stuck? Let's go get unstuck. This last week, George went to court working out his probation. The judge says, you got to have a driver's license. He held it up high. Judge, I did exactly what you said you needed to do. George, how'd you get it done? My friend Neil put a hole in the roof. And he lowered me down to Jesus. Connections. They matter. Your faith heals. We come into a place where if you need to be carried, there's people there to carry you, and if you can do the carrying, you can come along and do it. Grab that brochure on the way out today and next Sunday. Say, this is a group I'm willing to give a try. Together, we can carry each other. Amen.
Rise and sing with us the first and last verses of our closing hymn.
Each other, as Christ accepted us, teach us as sister, brother, each other.
favorite prophet, Bono, says it the best. We are one. We are not the same. But boy, we get to carry each other. Grab one of these on the way out this week and find a spot where you can be involved in the carrying ministry of the life of this church. Then join us down in the fellowship hall and paint the tile. Man, you saw some miracles here today, friends. Go forth in peace. May the peace of God go with us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, get out of here, would you?